You're listening to The Roofer Report, the ultimate podcast for roofing professionals, business owners, and entrepreneurs. Get insider access and hear about the highs, lows, and tales of triumphs from thriving business owners. Brought to you by Roofer, hosted by Pete McKendrick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Roofer Report. I am your host, Pete McKendrick, and I am happy to be joined here for yet another Roofer of the Month. We've been doing these now about a year. They've been great to just kind of get some insight into how people are doing business and get to know some industry folks a little better. And, you know, Brent and I have had the chance to meet in person back at IRE, right? Was it IRE? We met at?
Yeah.
So I've been down in San Antonio this year. So I'm really excited to have Brent on today. So welcome Brent Gerard of Brentwood Roofing. And he is our Roofer of the Month for June. So welcome, Brent.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, man, we're excited to chat a little bit and just kind of get some insight into the business. So let's start out by telling us a little bit about Brentwood. Where are you guys located? How big are you as a company? How long have you guys been in business? Just some of the simple background stuff on Brentwood.
Okay, so Brentwood Roofing is in the suburbs of Houston. We're about halfway in between Houston and Galveston in Friendswood, Texas. We've been in business for 1 year. I've been in the roofing industry for about 6 years. We're a small company. We have large crews. We can tackle big projects in 1 day, two in a day, or just two smaller projects in 1 day. I have recently hired some sales guys, project managers. They do both of those roles, and a sales manager to manage them just recently. They're out working right now. Some of them haven't even met until today. So that's real new, and it's exciting to have new guys so I can work more on my company instead of in it all the time. So it's been good.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about this Roofer of the Month thing that we're doing is getting to meet a lot of companies that are fairly new, you know, in their first couple of years, and really hearing how they got going and what they have going on. Hats off to you guys for jumping in and taking on the challenge of running your own business. I have some buddies right now that I used to work with at a former company in the roofing industry that are doing the same. They just started their own roofing company and branched out a little bit. So it's really cool to see everybody kind of maturing and taking on that challenge of running their own company. So let's dive into it a little bit here with you, Brent. How did you, let's get a little bit of the backstory, right? So you said you've been in the business about 6 years. How did you come into roofing? How did you end up in roofing? And then what did you do prior to owning Brentwood?
Well, I had some of my older brother's friends had asked me to work for their roofing companies. I just didn't really take it that seriously. And then people kept trying. There's a lot of roofs to be done around here with being close to the coast. We had a couple of storms about 10, 15 years ago. Finally, I just gave in and said, all right, I'm going to try it. I worked for a company and I was doing almost everything that I'm doing now, but for somebody else's company. I started doing this on my own for myself, and it's been really good. And being able to control the quality, control the timelines, and bring in my people that I choose, and instead of training somebody else's guys and then not having really anything to show for that, was kind of why I left. But everybody's still friends with the companies that I've worked for before, but we're doing things the Brentwood way now. So
I like it. Now, Houston is a very competitive market, right? So what are you guys doing, you know, as obviously as a new company, right? You're in a market that's very established, like you said, tons of work. Are you guys working in Houston? Are you working outside of Houston? What are you guys doing to separate yourself from, you know, the rest of the roofers around there?
Well, I do a lot more work on this side of Houston, going all the way to Galveston Island. To separate ourselves from other companies, we're a smaller company, so I think obviously our customer service is a lot better. We're big enough to tackle complex jobs and finish them in 1 day, but we're small enough to really care for our customers and their specific needs and really cater to them and what they need for their homes, especially some of these more complex jobs that are on the coast. You know, sometimes they're three stories because they're, you know, they're built up. And so there's a lot more involved when you have windstorm certificates and all those guidelines that we have to adhere to.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting niche, right? Especially for a small company starting out to realize like, hey, there's, you know, a very unique subset of roofs that we can do. And if we handle them correctly, like we can kind of corner that market and you know, rather than just being another roofer in Houston, like obviously you guys have figured out a little bit of a niche there down in Galveston and being able to manage those jobs on the coast that probably some of the other roofers aren't willing to go get. You know, I remember I worked with a company out of Allentown, PA, and he had done something similar. It was a small company, like you said, kind of nimble and flexible and easily, you know, easy to kind of move around, handle his customers' needs well. And one of the things that he did was he went into an area that was downtown, buildings close together, really hard to work on. And he just embraced that and said, like, hey, I'm going to be the guy that does these that no one else wants, right? And because of it, now he's essentially that roofer that is known as the guy that will go in there and do those jobs that the other roofers don't want to do. In this case, you guys have kind of carved that out as well of being this guy that, you know, maybe with all the other certifications and things that you got to manage with those jobs, it's probably something that a lot of roofers don't want to touch. And so now you guys have kind of been able to jump in there and quickly find success there.
Right. And I had somebody saw one of my social media ads. And when I mentioned Friendswood, they when they called me, they were like, yeah, I heard you're in Friendswood. I didn't want a Houston roofer, specifically said that. And so I mean, obviously, I guess I'm marketing the right zip codes. And that's exactly what I want. I'd rather not have to go into Houston. There's plenty of roofs down here in the burbs. So you know, we like doing that. And then, of course, the ones on the coast are challenging. But we want to be your neighborhood roofer, local roofer, and not a bigger company that's just going to put you on the back burner. But we're always going to answer the phone calls. We know who it is when they call in.
It's interesting because we're, you know, I live in Kentucky and we just went through a couple of big hailstorms and a lot of roofs damaged here. And that, you know, it's really been stressed to folks via social media and also, you know, in person is, you know, hey, look for the local guy, right? Look for that neighborhood roofer guy. Who is the guy that lives down the street from you? Who's the guy that's done business here for years? You know, start there, you know? And so I think that being that neighborhood roofer, obviously, if you're in a market where storms are prevalent, like you are, you know, I think that that's even more important to some aspect to be that local guy, because when that storm comes, it has been very interesting to watch it kind of unfold is that local people are looking to those local companies to be the authority and to tell them, you know, hey, this is how it should be, right? This is what you should be watching out for. This is what needs to be done to your house. This is how we're going to handle your claim. Like, you don't necessarily need to work with us, but as your local roofer, I'm going to essentially be the authority and I'm going to tell you, like, this is how it needs to roll. And the people are respecting that, right? And because of it, they're turning away everyone. I mean, there was a guy here that was complaining because he's 30 minutes outside of town and they were turning him away as not being a local roofer. And he's like, I shop in your town. Like, I am kind of a local roofer just because my office isn't there. But, you know, the people were literally saying to him, like, where are you located? And he, you know, he said, I'm not in town. And they said, well, you're not a local roofer, so I'm not going to use you. And so it's really interesting how that's played out. And I think that, you know, buyers are becoming more and more aware. Like you said, they don't want somebody from up in Houston. They want somebody that's more local to them, you know, that knows what they need and understands the situation better. Very smart move by you to kind of narrow your scope a little bit and not try to just jump into that bigger market and be that neighborhood guy, because you've probably got a ton of work right there in your backyard.
We do. It is, you know, we have jobs lined up, but we just can't get to them because of the rain. And then like you were saying about the local, I got a call. I hired a senior in high school guy to go hang door hangers for me. I just started doing this recently. Got a call from a guy and he had some bigger roofing companies out that really, really competitive bids too, but he chose mine because I was right here in Friendswood. And that's the first one we're doing as soon as it stops raining right here by Friendswood High School. So I'm nice. I'm happy that the door hangers worked, and it, you know, I think it shows that we're a Friendswood company. And when they see that door sign, I think it just lowers their guard a little bit. They know that we're local and we're not going anywhere, and it puts them at ease a little bit. So,
yeah, I thought one of the most interesting comments made during that whole storm thing was made by a local roofer that said, as a homeowner, you need to think about, yeah, I'm getting my roof replaced, but what happens if 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you have an issue with that roof that was just installed? Where's that roofer going to be if he's not a local roofer? Is he going to come back from 500 miles away to do a repair? Probably not. And he said, as a local guy, I'm not necessarily going to just go in and repair someone else's roof He's like, because then it's on me. Now you've created yourself this whole scenario of having a roof on your house that's not supported because you chose an outside guy. And now I'm stuck having to potentially deal with the fact that you have another person's roof on your house and you want me to fix it. Right. And I may tell you, we need to tear the thing off and redo it. Right. So, because I don't trust their work. So it makes for an interesting situation. And I think that, like you said, you being local and them knowing that you're going to be there if they need you again, it plays into it a lot now. I think the homeowners are savvier than they've ever been, and they're taking that kind of stuff into account.
Yes. And there's a lot of information for homeowners on the internet. Some of it's good, some of it's not good. But we're finding our homeowners are a lot more educated than they were previously. And that's a good thing. And after these storms, not everybody needs to just file a claim.
Yeah.
And so it's important that they have several people that are qualified come out, look at their roof.
So you've been in business about a year now. Let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you've faced, things that you've struggled with that maybe you didn't predict. You said you were kind of doing most of this stuff for another company, so you kind of had a pretty good feel for it. But what are some of the things that you've run into this year that you look back on, you're like, man, I wish I would have thought of that ahead of time, or I didn't see that coming?
There's always things I wish I would have started sooner.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody always says that. I wish I would have got into sooner. So mainly having good help is good. I wish I had more time to train these guys the way that they need to be. I was never trained. I was told the only thing I needed to do was knock on doors, get on roofs, and chalk the roof with. And that was it. So I don't want those guys to feel like I'm doing the same thing that was done to me years ago. So that's why I brought in a sales manager. They're out right now riding around all together. So, and I do want them to kind of be friendly, competitive with each other so that we can give them bonuses for who does the best each week. To answer your question, challenges is good help and just getting people scheduled when they want to be. We can't get to every lead that comes in immediately, but it's okay to send even a greener guy out just to make contact with the homeowner the same day or the next day and just say, hey, I tell them it's okay to say, you don't have to know all their answers to all their questions, but that you're there to take pictures and that you're going to share them with the sales manager, with me, and then we'll get back to you. The expert will be out on Tuesday, but at least somebody from Brentwood has met them, so they know that we're taking them very seriously. And
yeah, that's a smart play on your part, because we often talk about speed to lead, right? And how quickly are we responding? How quickly are we getting to folks? Like I tell a story of I had a plumbing issue in my house and called a couple of people to work on it and couldn't even get a call back, got a voicemail. And I didn't wait for those people to call me back. I just moved on to the next person on the list, you know, and the first guy who picked up the phone and actually had a conversation with me is who won the job. Being that responsive person, I think, plays a huge part in landing these jobs and being successful at converting these leads. And so it's a smart play on your part to, you know, say, hey, maybe you're not qualified yet to go out and fully quote this roof, but let's still go out there. You can do the inspection. This is what you need to do. Make that first contact and at least put their mind at ease that, hey, we're going to get to you as quickly as we can. We're going to do our due diligence here and get our information together, and then we'll get back with you. But at least you've made that contact. You've started that relationship with the customer. You're not leaving them hanging saying, hey, I can't get to you for 2 weeks or something like that. We're busy. Like, you guys have figured out a way to bridge that gap until you guys can get there. So smart.
Yeah. One of the other problems that I was facing a while back was getting quotes to the customer within a certain amount of time before they just go with somebody else. But with the proposals where I can get them cranked out pretty fast now, within a couple of minutes, I can do one. And it's accurate because we're using y'all's measurements, which has been fantastic. So insurance pricing too. But I've found that just getting them a number and saying, hey, this is a retail estimate to where this is your estimate for not insurance. This is if I'm just dealing with you and me and where, you know, you pay us at the end of the job, that's this price. If we're going to go through insurance, your price pretty much is your deductible. And so, but just getting them out a proposal pretty quick like that has been real helpful for us. So
I mean, there's a stat that Nick and I have talked about before. on some of the master classes where if you're the first person in the door, if you're the first quote on the table, you're 7 times more likely to win that job in the end, right? Because now everyone else is getting compared to you. So, you know, it definitely is a huge benefit to be able to pump those proposals out very quickly. You know, once you have that kind of process in place and things are streamlined, like you said, you can pull that measurement and then, hey, I'm going to give you a retail bid. You know, if this turns into an insurance job, because you have damage, we find damage in our inspection or whatever, we'll worry about that when we get to it. But at least here's a price, you know, here's a bid based on the size of your job and size of your house. And then we'll go from there. Smart, man, to get in the door and kind of like establish yourself as quick as possible. And then you can always kind of work back into whatever the actual situation presents.
Yeah. And Pete, sometimes I email them. I like to print them out. The same proposal that you provided through Roofer, I'll print them out and then I'll take a folder that has the stages of the roof I take in there. Sometimes I don't want to email it out to them until I've done that, sit down in person, show them, let them touch some materials and see some colors in person. But I'm finding out that if I can't get to them, you've just got to, like you were saying, be that first one, even if it's in the form of an email, just sending it out and then following up in person. If we can.
I mean, we have a user, Amanda from Maven, who sends it out via email and then follows it up with a text message. And the text actually has a link to the proposal and just a couple different ways of getting it in their hands so they can review it. And like you said, even if it's just to get it to them so they can take a look at it, then you're going behind it, making in-person contact. And at that point, you can answer any questions and iron out the details. Smart the way you guys are playing that to where you have got some processes in place early on to get to the customer fast and to start to develop that relationship and establish that rapport, because so much of this is just about selling that relationship more so than the roof. I think a lot of times it's, you know, establishing yourself as the person they want to work with, right? And that they trust.
Absolutely. And the fact that you said that, I had this gentleman in League City. And when I sat down at his dining room table, I saw two other companies that are big companies locally. They both start with the letter B. He said that he went with me because he trusted me. And I'm sure they had similar proposals. We were all pretty in line from what he was saying as far as pricing. But he just said, and that made me feel really good. And then when I went back to pick up the final insurance check recently, he sat down and he goes, wanted to make sure he was leaving me a review right there at the table. I thought that was really nice of him. So getting reviews, I love that. One day, 2 weeks ago, I had a review every day for 5 straight days.
But yeah. Do you guys have a process around asking for those reviews, or are they just unsolicited more or less?
I think about 2 weeks ago, I was making it a point to text them saying, hey, if you don't mind leaving us a review. And I do it when we're basically doing the walkthrough at the end of the job in their front yard. I text them and say, and while I'm talking to them, I'm going to go, hey, do you mind leaving us a review? It helps people find us on Google. And that's it. I just text them a reminder. So the next time they come to text me or something, they'll see that, oh yeah, I didn't do that. And sometimes I forget and they still show up. No. I wouldn't mind doing an email automation or something to remind them. That's something we can get to later for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you guys have been in business about a year, obviously you found some success. You guys are carving out a niche a little bit there for yourselves. Talk, what's the plan for Brentwood long-term?
In the next couple of years, I'd like to get about 10 sales and project managers to where we can branch out and get, because Houston's so big, that I'd like to be able to have some guys that live closer to the north side, some people closer going all the way towards Beaumont. I'd like to get a little bit bigger because it is great being local to Friendswood, but I mean, some of these guys that I really trust to work for Brentwood, I want them to kind of carve out the neighborhood to represent them for their area. I think that would be great. We're real lean right now. I want to stay that way. But at the same time, just not grow too fast. I don't want to grow too fast. I want to still be a neighborhood roofer. But just carefully growing is what I foresee in the next couple of years.
I like it. Especially, I think that it becomes a challenge when you're in a market like yours, right? Like at any given time, you guys could get potentially a surplus of work. Like we see it in Florida right now. They had the hurricanes, you know, some of those places that were fairly slow are now just blown with work. Here's a perfect example. Like our guys here locally in Kentucky doing just regular retail work. You just a normal every day. And the next thing you know, there's 57,000 homes with hail damage here, right? So it's like all of a sudden now you've got 2-3 years worth of work probably, and you're getting flooded with leads and phone calls. And I think it's very easy to fall into a trap, especially for a younger company, right? To say like, okay, there's a ton of work, like let's get on it. Let's figure out how we can do this. So I think it's a smart approach to take a step back and say, hey, we're in this area where it could get crazy, but let's be smart about this and grow at a nice steady pace, not overwhelm ourselves or potentially put ourselves in a bad position.
Absolutely. And roofing, it's always about managing chaos. That's the name of this game. It's not about marketing or anything. To own a roofing company and run it effectively, you have to be prepared on a daily basis to manage chaos, because builds can get chaotic. Storm restoration, tarping right after a storm, it's chaotic by nature. So however you can manage chaos is how you're going to sink or swim. And if you're not ready to manage chaos on a daily basis, then this is not for you.
Yeah, no, I think it's smart. And I think there's, you know, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts, right? And there's a lot of, what is always crazy about the roofing industry to me is that as a roofing company owner, there's a lot of factors that are outside of your control, right? Like weather specifically is a huge one, right? You're kind of at the mercy of that. I used to own a landscaping business, very similar, you know, like you're kind of at the mercy of the weather. I was in Florida, right? So it was like, it rains every day there. So you're constantly having to deal with schedule and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It is, like you said, if you can kind of stay ahead of it and think ahead of the chaos a bit and be prepared, I think, you know, you're definitely on the road to success. So, well, thank you, Brent. This has been fantastic. Thanks for coming on. Some great insight. And I think you guys are taking a really smart approach. You got some really cool stuff going on, really smart ways of standing out from the crowd in a very competitive area and establishing yourself as the neighborhood roofer. Congrats on being the June Roofer of the Month. And thank you for jumping on with us today. Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope you were able to gain some insight here. We're always looking to grab a little gold nugget out of every one of these conversations that we have. And thanks again to Brent for hopping on here with us today. And we will talk to you all next time on the Roofer Report. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. Check us out next time on the Roofer Podcast. But until then, be sure to like us, subscribe to us, and check out all our other episodes on YouTube and Spotify.